I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Good evening, class. My name is Tony Spears, and you're listening to Binary Gamer, where we are going to learn a little something about video games. So, this is a special week. We've decided to go out of the classroom, and right now we are in the hotel room. And we are out of the classroom because this week we have gone to the Grand Ole Game Room Expo here in the lovely city of Franklin, Tennessee, and it's been a pretty good time. So let's get business out of the way. Binary Gamer is a podcast you can find over on homeofnerds.com, as well as iTunes and Stitcher and Player FM and all the places you can find podcasts. So to check out more of our awesome stuff, head over to homeofnerds.com for all your tips and tricks, news and reviews, and all the awesome stuff that you can find in video games. So now that business is concluded, let's get down to the fun. I am joined by two of my bestest bros, Casey Foy, a.k.a. Top.
Ah!
And Lorenzo Preston.
Hey, yo.
So, what do we think about day one?
Day one is interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can definitely tell this has been a first year for the game, for the Grand Ole Game Room.
Yeah.
I think they're off to a good start, though. I mean, there's definitely room for improvement and things like that, but all in all, I think it's a good experience that they're trying to put together.
I think, like, with what they have set up, so full disclosure for those that don't know anything about the expo. So, like, when I first heard about it, my understanding was it was just going to be a room with some arcade machines and some pinball machines, and that was going to be about it. And there is that, so I'm not disappointed on that front, but there's a whole lot more to it. So, like, this is pretty much just, like, games in a very broad brush, in my opinion. Because in one room, you have everything from Frogger to Rampage. There was a freaking lunar lander machine in there. All kinds of pinball machines. Then you have another room that has a Nintendo hooked up to a CRT where you can play Duck Hunt. And a whole bunch of other older machines to include, like, a Dreamcast, and I saw a SNES in there. I think there was
An Atari in there, too.
Atari.
Yeah, there was an Atari in there.
Segas.
Yeah, a few Master Systems in there.
Dreamcast.
And then on the far side, there's a room full of freaking, OG Xboxes, Xbox Ones, a couple 360s, various types of PlayStations. And then they had a PlayStation VR in there.
Yeah.
So, like, this thing runs the whole gamut. And as far as I'm concerned, the price of admission, it is pretty much pretty much justifies itself. Because, like, we paid $30 a ticket. I don't know, you got your ticket at a different price than we did. Or is it, you're
no,
30?
It was still 30.
Yeah, so, like, I think normal entrance price is 60. We got them on a discount.
Yeah.
And freaking, you play all the games you want. Like, we could have stayed there until 4 in the freaking morning.
Yeah, and that's all 3 days. I mean, they sell daily tickets, too. I think it's like $10 a pop, $15 a pop. But, I mean, for having all 3 days to be going in there, I mean, if we would have paid in quarters today, God.
Oh, yeah, it would have been like $200 in quarters. Easy. Just rolls in your fist, just going in. I must have played that Galaga machine at least 10 times today.
Oh, God, dude, I don't know how many pinball machines.
Broke my heart, though? So I went in there, first thing I played, right? Got that Galaga machine, got that high score. I was sitting at, like, just under 200 grand. Went in there before we left. Some dude was, like, 274.
Oh.
I was like, God, I've been dethroned. So now I gotta go back in there, and I gotta get my crown back. Can't have this. Can't have these plebs beating me at my game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's... I don't know, man. It's really cool. And then to top it all off, they had the tabletop games in there. They had board games and card games and all kinds of stuff in that one room off to the side.
Yeah.
And then to cap the whole thing off, they're doing a whole bunch of different
panels.
Yeah, different panels and stuff like that. One of which I'm very interested to go to is the importance of preservation in gaming, which I'm going to sit down in on that. Maybe get a little bit of footage of it if I can, but I'm gonna take some notes because I want to see what this guy has to say. So, and there's a lot of cool panels going on. Like, what was it, like this year in gaming, 1995. Another one's this year in gaming, 1985. Yeah, all kinds of cool stuff, man.
The one I'm looking forward to tomorrow is there's a DIY guy, a do-it-yourself guy, who specifically builds like old video game cabinets and he's working on a pinball machine and different stuff like that. So I've seen some stuff where people are actually using the Raspberry Pi to load a retro game and building it into a cabinet.
Right.
Like if you want a Legend of Zelda game cabinet, you actually build it in there and everything like that. So
I'm excited to see that. That was my original plan when I got my Raspberry Pi, was to make a cabinet around it. But I kind of like having it more portable.
Yeah.
Because obviously we have it here in the hotel room hooked up, and I couldn't exactly cart a freaking cabinet around to, you know, go to staff duty and things like that.
There's always the miniature cabinets that you can make.
Oh, yeah, the little tabletop ones?
Yeah.
Well, there was that one. You know what I thought was really cool about this whole thing was, like, when we first got there, there weren't very many cabinets or anything hooked up. You know what I mean? There was only, like
it didn't look promising when we first got there.
Yeah. You mean the room was completely bare.
Yeah, it was pretty barren at one point. And now, granted, apparently everything's supposed to really kick off in the full swing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, today was just, you know, like, essentially just kind of a free-for-all. And but what was really cool is, like, we would come back to the main room periodically, and it seemed like every time I went in there, there was some new little machine in there. Like, that one that we saw, well, first off, there's a Galaga cocktail cabinet in there, which, that's my unicorn. Like, that's the one I want.
Eleanor!
Yeah, seriously. But the one that got me was that the freaking Super Mario Nintendo Brothers Play. 3. Yeah. So it was a tabletop one. It was really cool. It was a tabletop one. It was probably, I say, what, like 2 feet long?
Yeah, maybe.
It had a small little, like, 16-inch CRT in it. Not very big.
Yeah.
But then it had these weird little joysticks, like very thin little joysticks on it, and then, you know, just two normal buttons on it. And it had Super Mario Bros. 3 playing on it, which at first I was like, oh, this is cool. And then Casey was trying to play it.
Oh, God.
And he was like, it's so weird playing Mario with a joystick. And I was like, yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
What really kills me, though, is like there are games in there that I forgot were originally arcade games. Like, started out arcade games and then came over to consoles and stuff. Like the
Battletoads.
Yeah, there was the Battletoads machine. There was Akari Warriors, which that one hadn't been turned on yet, but I was like, God, like that was the original like Commando game back in the day. And then they had like compilation cabinets like further on in the back, like off in that corner. There was a SNK compilation cabinet, which I was curious to see how that one was running. And then like Taiko games and shit like that.
Yeah.
Whole lot of, man, just all kinds of really cool stuff. And then like stuff that is like guilty pleasure games like the NFL Blitz Machine. Or freaking Gauntlet Legends, which we just kept hitting start to freaking just get more health, and we would have never died. But
yeah, it was like 9,999 health. And
but like, it's funny though, when you just have like free play access to an arcade machine, you realize how good those things were at making money, because in order to get plus 500 health in Gauntlet, you had to put in another quarter,
mm-hmm.
and another quarter, another quarter. So you could sink $5 in that game before you even start,
right?
And then, you know, have a whole bunch of health and shit, and then start playing the game, and still possibly not make it to the boss of the freaking world you're trying to fight in. Yeah, so it's funny like how much those things are just designed just to swallow up quarters. Like, think about if we had to pay to finish Moonwalker.
Oh God!
So first off, we finished Michael Jackson's Moonwalker. Not the way I remember it, because I still, like I was saying before, I remember there being that offset joystick.
Yeah.
That, like, was angled off to the side, and you would, like, rotate it instead of, like, actually moving it to the different quadrants, you know?
Yeah.
But that thing was just eating up freaking lives.
Right.
Left and right. But then I didn't realize it until we were playing it, but that game is very phallic.
Yeah, yeah. Parents be warned. It is,
that game has a lot of stuff that looks like dicks in it. Just straight up, dude.
I really missed that part.
Like there are machines that are just literally like air humping and destroying you. Like, no joke. Like, you can ask Casey.
Yeah, it's pretty bad, dude.
There's one of the levels where the boss is like this machine that is pumping out ghosts.
Oh.
These white ghosts. and it's literally pumping back and forth. Yeah, like, we're sitting there like, what doesn't look like a dick in this game? Like, what the fuck? And then when you beat the game, it's like game direction and design by Michael Jackson. And I was like, oh, bro, come on, man. Like, you can't let that be your legacy.
I got to play this game tomorrow. Then.
Yeah, you just got to go. I'm telling you, we'll go over there. I'm going to record your reaction to just seeing how many dicks are just in this game. Shit looks like dicks in that game, dude. It's crazy.
It's
yeah, but then there was stuff that like what I thought was really cool was those main cabinets that company brought. So these cabinets will just straight up tell you that they're not, the emulation is not 100% accurate. The sound design is not 100% accurate, but it doubles as a MAME cabinet for a whole bunch of very popular games, things like Galaga, Centipede, Burger Time was on there, all kinds of crap. And then also like digital pinball, which apparently digital pinball is becoming a big thing. I was asking some people about it before, and I was like, it's cool they have digital pinball on there, but I kind of like the old machines better. And people were like, oh no, man, like a lot of people are playing digital tables now. And I'm like, huh. Like, apparently that is the new hotness when it comes to pinball. So.
Well, the reason being, I mean, even while we were in there, I had one machine lock up on me.
Right.
And
I ran through a few that were like that.
There were several times that the guys had come over and unlock a machine because a ball would get stuck or things like that. So, I mean, it's kind of a maintenance issue.
Well, and that's the problem, too. And one of the things I'm hoping that the guy in the game preservation panel talks about is, like, when you go to these expos and stuff like that, it's really cool to have all these machines there. It's amazing, actually. They're all in one place, you know what I mean? But think about how much money is in that one room. The overall value. Like, some of those things are really common. Like, that Blitz machine, you can find a board for that anywhere. Mm-hmm. Gauntlet Legends, you can find a freaking board for that. But, like, that Frogger cabinet, like you know, OG cabinet painted up and everything with the board, like, an actual, like, original, accurate game board in there, that cabinet is probably 10 grand.
Well, the OG Pac-Man game that I played the first time.
Yeah.
You're sitting there playing Galaga.
I mean, yes. And the funny thing is that Galaga machine, I remember like saying like, man, I remember this machine being bigger when I was a kid, but no, it was that size. Like, cabinets weren't that big. A lot of them weren't anyway. I mean, like that Joust cabinet was pretty big, but that's because you had a larger monitor because it's a much more vertical game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's really weird to think of like a lot of things moving over digital, like the digital pinball machines. But then you think about like the maintenance on a pinball machine. Think about how much it would cost, because you're not just trying to keep it functional. You're trying to keep it aesthetically accurate.
Yeah.
Like a lot of those things like that Dolly Parton machine you were playing.
Oh, God.
And the Incredible Hulk one I was playing next to it. The Incredible Hulk one, like a lot of the bumpers and stuff and that thing were really faded. It's probably because it's really hard to find matching parts for that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, like, replacement stuff for, like, panels and, like, bumpers and stuff like that, yeah. But, like, the actual, like, bumper covers that are, like, shaped like the Hulk's fist and stuff like that, you probably can't find those original anymore.
I think that's what that table that was in front of the machines represented as far as, like, all the parts that they had laid out to show that, like, when I was playing Paperboy, they had the little handlebars that you can, like, rotate forward and backward for acceleration or to slow down. So, on their table, they had also that little piece of the handlebar to show, I guess, if you need parts, here's where you go to. This is who we are on our banner, and here are our parts.
Yeah.
So if you actually, like, own one of those, because most of those vendors are, like, different individuals. Like, there's a little kid, his dad brought, like, two pinball machines there. So
I talked to that guy before. Like, he's just some dude that owns machines, and he just goes to expos and, like,
and just
rents them out to the expo. Like, that's how he makes money.
Yeah. Yeah, and that company you're talking about, I actually talked to them a little bit and overheard some of their conversations with others, and they not only specialize in hard-to-find parts, but they specialize in refurbishing the parts already in the machines. Mm. Like, they do a lot of powder coating and color matching and things like that. So it's a good way. I mean, that's a good way for them to go to these expos, especially on pinball machines, to really push, you know, refurbishing the old machines, keeping them looking nice and things like that. So, And the dude's prices weren't that bad, honestly. If you guys got a pinball machine, I'm sure we can get something that you guys can look this company up for or something.
Oh, like yeah.
That.
I mean, we'll definitely get information for all these different companies and stuff. And, you know, links in the description down below, of course, because a lot of these guys actually, one thing I was really happy about was a lot of people were very happy to embrace the fact that I was shilling flyers for the Extra Life stream next week. And everybody was really happy to, you know, put the flyers I made out on their stalls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
A couple of people offered up swag to give away on the stream, which is really awesome. But yeah, I definitely want to get information from them.
Yeah.
From to put out there. That one guy, that one booth that was next to the parts booth for the pinball machines.
Yeah.
Where he had all those covers and stuff like that. That guy does all the artwork for those covers. He did every one of those.
I thought it was his buddy that did it.
No, his buddy did the artwork for the books.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, so what I'm describing is like this guy essentially made like posters for different games, stuff like Super Mario Brothers 3. It was like Metroid. Actually, there's one for Persona 5. I don't know if a lot of people realize that. There was one for like the Persona series of games, which they're actually really, really good games. They're very popular in Japan. But it was like the guy that runs the car in the opposite dimension. People know what I'm talking about, but yeah, there's like, it was a lot of really cool like covers and stuff, but the one that he had up there that I really want, like he has a Donkey Kong one that like Donkey Kong looks like it's Donkey Kong done in the style of the original Incredible Hulk cover, which is pretty rad. And then the, there's a Legend of Zelda one up there that I super want. So yeah. And the prices weren't bad either. I got that Link to the Past freaking graphic novel for $5. Like, I had no idea what he had.
Yeah, and that's I mean, there's, what, three or four, like, swag booths?
Yeah. Three or four different vendors. And like, that one guy does that pixel art, which is, all really cool. But I will sink so much money there.
Yeah.
Like, that pack of coasters was $25, and I really wanted to get it.
I mean, these guys, I mean, it's all very relative to the games and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
They're all there, and they're decently priced. I mean, you're not going to go there and break the bank on a small item or something like that. Now, some of those bigger items,
yeah,
I'm going to have to probably rein you in on. But
well, I probably won't get that Legend of Zelda logo, which was only $75, might I add. It was really nice.
Yeah.
That shit would look amazing on my wall. Let's be real now. But I'm not going to drop $75 on it.
Yeah. I suggest you take up crafting and do your own Legend of Zelda. Just take a picture and then
figure it out. Well, see, I just want to buy one to figure out how he made it. And then I want to see if I can do it myself. I'm pretty sure I could. I mean, I'm not the most artistically talented person in the world, but I'm semi-crafty.
You can go to Michael's and get those little beads.
Yeah.
It's the same little beads that crafts.
Yeah, that'd be pretty dope. Then I can sell it on Etsy. That's how I pay for my habit.
Yeah.
Boom. Thanks, Etsy. I'm coming for you. But yeah, so far, man, I've been having a really good time. And then we had that Halo, like rampage with those guys. I don't know those guys except for by their name. Like, Foxtrot, if you're listening to this, fucking, I'm coming for your head, bro. It's game over. I've never been out sniped that bad in my entire life. That guy was a friggin' artist with that sniper rifle. Yeah, he was dropping dudes like bad habits. It's crazy.
Everywhere. Yeah. Everywhere.
What'd you say with the battle cry of the defeated? Foxtrot! That guy was... they all played really good and everything, but like that was a lot... Like, I haven't had a LAN party like that in literally a decade. You know what I mean? Like, because you go into the room... And right smack in the middle, four TVs, four OG Xboxes with the original friggin' ham-fisted-ass controllers. And they're all playing Halo 1. And they're all hooked up to, like, a little Linksy freaking router. And, yeah, game on, dude. Freaking 4-on-4, have at it. Fucking weird. Oh, man. That shit was so fun.
It was crazy.
That was a flashback.
Yeah. Definitely, dude. All that Cat 5 cable run everywhere in Iraq. But no, like that dude, the dude that we're calling Foxtrot, he was actually one of the vendors there. Actually, one of the sponsors was a tech college right around here in Franklin. And I can't think of the name of that tech college.
Lipscomb?
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
But, I mean, they've got that tech college. They've got a company called VP Cabinets.
Those are the guys that brought those cabinets I was talking about.
Which are the digital
pinball machines.
Digital pinball machines that have like 50 or 60 games on them. So, I mean, this thing, I think it has a real good potential to grow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, all in all, I mean, if you're looking for something to go and get your retro gaming on, this thing is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, just the gaming fix that I got from this. Yeah. Like, at the very end of it, there we are sitting in that one room with all the old school machines. We're just sitting there playing Duck Hunt. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, like 50 yards down the hall, I can go and I can play on a freaking PlayStation VR if I really wanted to right now. But no, I'd rather just sit here and play Duck Hunt.
I still maintain you can't eat clay pigeons.
Hey, man. 809,500 was my high score. Smashed it. I got to the point. Pigeons. I got to the point in the clay pigeon game in game C on Duck Hunt to where I could not miss. Like, literally, if I missed, game over. And then at the very, like, what was it 27?
Level 27.
Yeah, level 27. I missed one. I was like, I just fuck it. I threw the gun down and went, I'm done.
I don't think I've ever been that dedicated with my own Duck Hunt.
No, but it was so cool though, because and I was telling Casey in there, like remember with the Duck Hunt gun, like you knew shit was on point because you got that spring click when you pulled the trigger. Mm-hmm. It still had that, man. That gun's probably 15 years old,
right?
Probably older, and it still had that nice click to it when you pull the trigger and the screen flashes, the duck goes down. Mm-hmm. That's the shit that my 12-year-old brain is just like, it was so good. It was so much fun. Then over there, they had and 10 feet away is a Dreamcast.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there playing friggin' Soul Calibur with your buddies. We're right next to that is a friggin' Super Nintendo, and there's some friggin' Mario Kart. It's just, it's so well put together, man. Like you said, it's rough. It's its first year. I'm pretty sure this is the first year. If it's not, then they still have some ways to go.
But, it is. But I talked to a couple people, it is their
first year. But for a first year, just, man, it's so good. The way they have everything all mapped out and stuff.
I like the fact that they didn't, I guess, try to go above and beyond on some of the things that they had. So if you are playing your GameCube, you're not expecting super high def graphics.
Yeah, they had a hook up to a CTR TV.
They had your old tube TVs.
Yeah,
it's just like playing from back in the day. Nothing different.
Right,
give you that same look. It's not going to look weird.
Yeah. Everything looks picture perfect to the way to the way it was. They're not trying to force up-resing into this stuff, which is funny because for a lot of those games it destroys the functionality. Like I was playing the Casey, and a lot of people don't know this, but you can't play Duck Hunt on anything but a CRT TV. Mm-hmm. Because the way the light gun works, the light gun isolates a part of the screen. Everything else flashes. Where the light gun is pointing stays dark. That's how the duck knows it's dead. Because if the duck lights up, it keeps moving. If the duck stays dark and the rest of the screen lights up, the game knows, he hit, and then the duck goes down. If you do that on an LCD or a plasma, then it can't replicate the same flash from the light gun because the LCD doesn't react to the light beam that you're putting out from the gun. That's why, and a lot of people were asking why Duck Hunt isn't on the NES Classic.
Because
it has an HDMI cable, it's going into modern televisions.
Right.
Yeah, so, and that's something that's really cool, too, because, there were little kids in there playing, that pack of kids that came in to play Halo 1.
Yeah.
What's funny is, technically, that is technically still a contemporary game, if you really look at it. You know what I mean? But those kids were like, how does this work? How do you aim down the sights? And I'm like, you don't. Just fucking get that assault rifle and start shooting, little SA.
There was that one family that came in. What was that? That girl was probably 13, 14, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, and she picks up the OG Xbox controller, and it's huge. And her eyes are as big around as saucers, and she's like,
That baby seal Billy Club of a fucking controller. Yeah. You could kill a man with that thing. I still stand by the fact that was a weapon first, and then a controller. I don't care what anybody says. That thing was so huge. What was Microsoft thinking? Like really, though?
Yeah, but at the time, think back at the time when that came out. I mean, that was nothing then. for that controller then. But now,
no, dude, like when you compare that, okay, so it was the PS2, and then the OG Xbox came out. The DualShock 2 is a third the size of that controller. So, like, when you compare, you're like, what the fuck? Like, when Microsoft first came out with their consoles and stuff, like, design-wise, they were way behind the curve, but their machines had so much power.
I think it's all the... if you think about all the consoles that were out at the same time, you had Dreamcast that had that same bulky, like, idea of a controller.
Yeah, so the Dreamcast controller was pretty big.
You had the Dreamcast, a little bit before that, Sega Saturn, you know.
Well, the Saturn controller was fucking huge.
You know,
the Saturn controller is probably the closest contemporary to the actual OG Xbox, because that controller was fucking massive.
But, I mean, it's because we look back at it now from the technology we have today, from what we're used to today, and we're going, oh my God, how did we play with this? But, I mean, it's still that nostalgic feel. Like, you could pick it up and go, yeah, this is, I remember this.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was using that smaller GameShark controller at one point playing Halo, and, like, it was more comfortable in my hands, but, like, playing Halo 1 and using that OG controller, you're like, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I just, like, if someone had given me some, like, weird freaking off-brand controller for the Dreamcast when we were playing Soul Calibur, I'd have been like, this doesn't feel right. No, just give me the... I don't care if there's no UMD. Just give me the freaking thing. But, yeah, it was...
I mean, it reminds you of that feel, but it also shows you how used to technology you get to nowadays.
Yeah.
Because for 5 minutes straight, me and Tony were reaching for the home button in the middle of the Xbox
controller. Oh, yeah.
And it just wasn't there.
Yeah. I was, like, trying to check my stats. It's like, I don't know. It was so weird. Like, it's that muscle memory that you develop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what trips me out, though, is, like, so you bought me that 8-bit, that 8-bit-o controller, right?
Right.
So I use that for my Raspberry Pi. And I realized when we were in there that controller, as small as it is, has all the functionality of every controller that was in there.
Yeah.
Like, 100% across the board. And I was like, man, it's so crazy to think, like, I could just take this controller, and if I could get it to interface with any of these consoles, I could just be like, it'd be like, have console, will travel, and I could just play anywhere, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's really weird to think about that. But at the same time, a lot of those consoles, like, the OG Xbox. Remember I was showing you the input port for the controller? Like, it was so big. Like, you could fit your little finger in that fucking thing. It was so crazy, man.
Yeah.
But this was definitely really cool. I mean, we could be sitting in our houses right now just wasting away a 4-day weekend. You know what I mean? Yeah. But this was really cool to come down and see, not only just to have fun and to hang out, which it's been awesome hanging out with you guys and playing games. I mean, if I had to sit here and be a 12-year-old again with anybody, I'd rather be you two. But it's just really cool to be able to look back on that stuff as well. Like, it's really nice to sit there and, like, play. Like, because I'm not going to lie, there was a point playing Gauntlet Legends where I was like, yeah, I remember why I stopped playing this game. Like, there's a reason why your lifespan is so short in those games. Because if you really could just play it all the way through and forever, you're just going to get tired of it. Because at some point, the jank is completely apparent in those games. And they were so rough at the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? But a lot of them are still really cool. I forgot to go back and play that scooter game. There's a game there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was down from the Maximum Force game that still isn't working, which really bums me out. House of the Dead works. I'm going to play that tomorrow. I never got a chance to play that. But, I can't remember that damn thing is called. It's some weird game where you're a pizza delivery guy in a scooter.
Yeah.
And you're it's essentially Crazy Taxi on a scooter, is what it is. But I remember that game I could only find that game at Laser Quest when I was a kid. It was the only place that had it anywhere in town. And I thought that game was the bee's knees. Don't ask me why. I fell in love with really weird, obscure games when I was a kid.
Oh, it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. I mean, it opens up tomorrow at 11 and runs till 4 a.m. again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking almost, what?
Talking a lot of Mountain Dew. 18 hours. A lot of Doritos.
Yeah.
Just.
So, and
a lot of money spent.
A lot, yeah. So you're, and that's the thing too, is like people are buying stuff. I was seeing people at those booths left and right, man.
Yeah.
So those people are making money.
Like the first day today, you could literally get on a pinball machine or a cabinet and play for hours without people. Like I was sitting there and I was playing a Metallica pinball machine, which was probably one of my favorite in there so far.
Dude, the sound is so good in it, right?
Yeah. And
there's whole tracks on that fucking thing. It's crazy. Like you can listen to all of Master of Puppets on that fucking cabinet. Yeah.
And it's the older one because apparently this guy sat there and watched me for 15 minutes. And he said they just came out with a new one. I lost my third ball. And I was like, dude, you want to play? And he's like, no, keep playing. And that's what this thing is. I mean, it's people coming in and they just love the games. They love the pinballs, the cabinets, and they enjoy just watching people.
Yeah.
But I mean, I watched one girl. She stayed on Attack from Mars for like 3 hours. She was still on it when we left.
Wow.
But nobody was there to really push her off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it's kind of an honor system, kind of, you know, don't hog the machine if somebody's waiting in line.
I'm just waiting for someone to put a quarter down on a cabinet and be like, I got next.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, whatever.
Just toss it over your shoulder.
Whatever, yeah.
Thanks for the quarter, buddy.
Yeah. Appreciate it. But, no, I mean, you're right. And there's a sign up there that says, you know, even though everything is free play, you know, be courteous to people that are waiting for games and stuff like that. And I don't see why people wouldn't. There's plenty of stuff to play.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what we completely forgot to mention? I just thought about now is the fighting game room, where like there was every single Smash Brothers game.
Oh yeah, Smash room.
There. And then yeah, they had, which I want to try tomorrow. We got check this out. Have you guys played or heard of Pokken Tournament?
Yeah.
No. So, Pokken Tournament is essentially like not even Street Fighter. It's like Super Smash Brothers, but you play as a specific Pokemon.
Alright.
So you can play
that. Was the one that right as you go in the door off to the right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I want to play that game. I've seen videos of it and stuff like that, but I want to actually sit down and play it because it looks pretty dope. I really just want to play as Pikachu, if we're being completely honest.
And there's several tournaments that are gonna be going on tomorrow as well.
Mm-hmm.
They actually threw together an impromptu pinball tournament tonight.
Saw that.
And it was...
There was some 50-year-old dude in there wrecking shop on one of those machines.
Yeah, but did you see what it actually evolved into? Like, they had this single-player, like, one-on-one draw system. And then they actually went into a dual-player where one person ran the right flipper and one person ran the left flipper. And it was team-on-team.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dude, that's, watching that...
That's wicked.
Like, you've got people, like... going together, just like, oh, hit it, and talking back and forth, and it was awesome to watch.
I didn't even know that was.
I know that was happening.
This is the show that I'm talking about. Like, it's so cool that this stuff can happen. Like, you get all this stuff together, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you spend the money, you spend the time, but then stuff like this can come together, and it's so freaking cool, man. It is so cool. Like, I didn't know that tournament was like. I knew there was a tournament going on, but I didn't know that they had like. That's like Pacific Rim almost. It's like two brains, one machine. Like,
it was interesting to watch.
Yeah.
It really was.
That's crazy.
So what are you looking forward to tomorrow? I got to ask this question as what are we looking forward to tomorrow the most?
Like game-wise or like panels, the whole nine? Or
the whole nine. Overall, tomorrow, what are you looking
forward
to?
The top three things I'm looking forward to, I'd have to say, are the games preservation panel.
Okay.
The Halo 3 tournament.
Yeah.
And then I want to get my high score back from Galaga. That is my goal. I am going to have my name at the top of that list before this freaking expo is over. Galaga is my jam. It is in my DNA. I must conquer it.
What about you, Preston?
I think what I'm looking for is the experience of other people, because like today there weren't as many people as you would expect to be in a game expo. So I think the experience of everybody else, I've already played most of the games that kind of interest me.
Yeah.
To see if someone's going to go behind me to beat out my 18 million score on the virtual pinball machine, Family Guy game or the Ladybug game. I'm probably going to watch who's ever playing the Ladybug game because It's like Pac-Man, but it's not like Pac-Man.
It's not. You got this like strange hook with that game. You're like, all right. Like when you're sitting there playing it, like you really got it. I was like, okay, cool. All right.
Yeah,
like,
eventually, if I play a game, I'll get into it. I guess I'll get into it in a certain way to see how far I can push myself to beat the game.
Yeah.
Before it starts beating me.
Yeah, because I saw you didn't quite hit that moment with Paperboy when you got really frustrated.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Arcade Paperboy
I think Arcade Paperboy is a little too old.
Yeah, man. it's a different beast. Because you're going forward and you gotta turn the thing and there's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
The whole acceleration, it's weird.
Uh-huh.
With the little handlebars and whatnot.
Yeah, so. I remember that too. Like the funny thing is this reminds me very much before I go on, what are you looking forward to, Todd?
Probably that DIY panel, because, I mean, I like construction, building stuff like that. The Halo 3, obviously.
Yeah, we have to dominate.
Yeah, we're going to go in there and just hopefully we can get Foxtrot on our team and just merc some faces.
No, yeah, we need a fourth, dude. If we can get that, it's game over.
And then after that...
that actually works out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Top three, I don't know what I'd round it out as. Probably checking out those that VP cabs a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because I just watched some people play it. Like, I watched you play it. I watched Preston play it a little bit. And I actually didn't get my hands on them. So I want to try those out tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And really see what the meat and potatoes are of those. Get that feel for that digital pinball.
Yeah, I want to try more of the digital pinball. I kind of avoided it, to be honest with you. I want to give it a shot.
I think when I played it, it's like I brought up earlier, if you ever played the pinball game that's on the old PCs where it's kind of like you click to get what,
yeah,
you know, the,
yeah,
or you use like,
no,
use
it was,
keyboard,
it
use
was,
keyboard to,
it was what, it's, I think it was Z and X is what,
yeah,
you use
for the left and right flippers.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. So when you compare something that's digital to something that you're kind of like used to, you feel the machine rumble. The music's like really blaring at you, and it's like,
well, see,
an experience
and
versus
me
kind of like just playing something.
See, and that's what I'm looking forward to comparing though, is because I love those full pinball machines that rumble, those bumpers hitting.
I specifically remember
the flippers, but to see, because those cabinets, you actually have the buttons on the side and stuff like that. To get kind of a mix of the feel, other than just hitting X and Z, like you said, and to actually have the buttons and stuff to see, I don't know.
Well, it is actually cool they went that far to put the buttons on the side to play the flippers. You could just have the two buttons on top because there's already a joystick and a ball up there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's funny that you mentioned like the physical aspect of those old pinball machines, because I remember there's a pizza factory in my hometown, and right before they got rid of all their arcade machines, they had this pinball machine in there that was called Storm Chasers. And this pinball machine had a fucking fan built into it. So at some point, when you hit a high score, the tornado would come down, and you had to hit a certain number of bumpers and these different panels in order to chase the tornado away. But when the tornado came down, the fan would blow.
Yeah.
And so you're playing it, and like it's not like super hard. It's not like a hairdryer in your face or anything like that, but like, it was enough to where you're like, oh man, the tornado's here. I can feel the wind. You know what I mean? And like, and some games do that. Not a lot of games do, but then, you know, there's certain games that have different physical stuff like that, and that's what I think is missing from digital pinball.
Yeah.
But like I said, I do want to give it a shot though.
And the try feel on that Dirty Harry pinball machine and the Indiana Jones pinball machine, because instead of the normal,
oh, you got the pistol.
Yeah. Instead of pulling the plunger back to launch a ball, it's got the pistol, and like you said, I think that's something that's missing from it. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see and compare, because I played a lot of pinball today, dude.
Yeah.
A lot of pinball.
Man, no, you guys miss it. So, like, when I was playing the Indiana Jones machine, right, like, I couldn't win for losing, right?
I had
the worst luck ever. I had a great run on that, the Astro Wars pinball machine. There was one that was a few down from the Metallica machine.
Yeah.
Man, I was killing it on that machine. I was just like, God, I kind of wish they were here to see this. But I was like, no, if they show up, then I'll start fucking up. So I was just like, stay away for a moment. As I was just like, I was just wrecking that thing, man. I think I got like a, I think I got at least like an 8 million score, which that's pretty high for me. I'm really not that good at pinball, yeah. But
crowning moment was the Dirty Harry pinball machine. I kept 3 multi balls alive for a good solid 45 seconds to a minute, just killing it.
You hit that moment where all of a sudden it's like, and everything slows down.
You like, see the balls coming, you're like, king, king, king.
There's no more separation between you and the flippers. Like, you are the machine. You're like, yes.
Yeah,
and I think that's one thing that I kind of got back to with this whole experience is, like, there really is that moment. Like, a lot of people talk about, like, being in the zone when it comes to playing a game and stuff like that, but really, though, there is that moment when, like, you're super into the game and everything is clicking off right. You're hitting the targets, you're making the shots, whatever it is, and you have that moment where it's like you are completely zen and you are almost flawless in the game. And it may only last for a few moments. It may only last for a couple seconds for that matter. But like, there's that moment playing the game where like everything else just kind of pushes off for a second and you are just, it's just you, there's the screen, and you can't lose for just that small amount of time. And I think that's what makes this shit great. That's what makes it so awesome is, like, there are those handful of moments you can get where it's just like, this is me right now and I can't lose.
If we can get the video uploaded, you will see Tony actually hit that moment in Duck Hunt.
Dude, those clay pigeons, man, I literally had a moment where I, like I said, I forgot anything else was going on. I was like, I had to hit all these pigeons.
I don't know, like, how much is going to get edited and everything like that, but I got, like, 3 solid minutes of him playing the clay pigeons on Duck Hunt and he couldn't miss. Like, it was just, like, you could barely see the white speck that was the pigeon.
I was getting them, like, right before they'd go over the horizon.
Yeah.
And just be like, ow, and just take it, like, that third bullet, like, all right. And the next round, like, whoo, just sitting there sweating it, boy. I was telling you, man.
Yeah, definitely hoping to get some good video tomorrow, though.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow's gonna be a lot of really good video. Like, we had our time to play and everything like that, and we'll do plenty of play tomorrow and stuff, but I definitely want to get some good stuff for the website tomorrow. I think it's going to be some really cool footage and something that definitely needs to be put out there, because I think this is one of those really cool expos that not only is good for the people that are running the expo, because obviously they're making money, but is good for people to experience and to learn about, because this is some really cool stuff, man. Like I said, like, you can't get those really cool moments just sitting at your house playing games. Like, the 3 of us could be there now. Like, you could be back at the B's playing on your Xbox One. I could be sitting in front of my computer. You could be sitting in front of your Wii U, I guess. I don't know. But, like, we could all be having those separate moments and stuff. And, yeah, you're relaxed and you're enjoying yourself. But something like this where, like, you come together with a bunch of people and just it's everybody loving playing these games, this is the kind of stuff I love.
Yeah.
This is some really good stuff.
And watching families come in was really awesome, too.
Yeah, man, there were so many little kids that were, like, getting down on those games.
Definitely past their bedtime.
Oh, yeah, way past their bedtime.
So, there was, like, 5 or 6 of us, full-grown men, playing Halo 1 and just wrecking house. And we took a break, and these 4 little kids came in. They started playing with their dad. No, 3 kids and their dad.
Yeah.
But all 6 of us stopped and watched these kids and were, like, encouraging them and everything.
Yeah, like trying to help them out. Like, no, get that overshield. Now go up to your sister.
Turn. Throw the grenade.
Run, you fool, run. But, yeah, it was definitely a lot of fun.
Yeah, watching the next game of, I guess, video game nerds or gurus coming up and just good, clean family fun coming in.
The other thing that I like about this, though, is that it really is in the spirit of what this podcast is. And it's like these younger kids come in. And, I mean, it wasn't just a whole bunch of, like, 8 and 9-year-olds. There were some kids, like, in their teens and stuff like that had, like, never seen an OG Xbox or, God forbid, had never seen a Frogger cabinet for that matter.
Right.
And, like, these kids are, they're playing, but they're learning something about these games, too. Because it's like, hey, all those games you like that are on your phone or fucking, like, you like Crossy Road, fucking, here's Frogger, buddy. This is the OG Crossy Road, just letting you know. And it's really cool to see them learn that kind of stuff. I mean, is it something that's going to, like, help them out when they're, you know, 35 and have kids? Probably not. But it's something cool they can have an appreciation of, and I think that's important, too.
Yeah.
So, I think this is as good a place as any to wrap it up. What do you gentlemen think?
Yep.
I think day 1, at the Grand Old Game Room Expo has been a resounding success, and I cannot wait for day two. So that is going to do it for this episode of Binary Gamer. Remember, we are a podcast over on homeofnerds.com, where you can find all of your news, reviews, tips, and tricks, all things games. It's all there at homeofnerds.com. And again, like I said, that's going to do it for this episode. So for Binary Gamer, I'm Tony Spears.
I'm Casey Foy.
I'm Lorenzo Preston.
Class dismissed.
Yarr.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.